This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey guys, this is the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. We're talking gender traitors, we're talking sleeping pills, and we're talking somebody becoming just a straight-up cold-blooded murderer. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
And here we are, the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
Welcome.
We're talking season 3, episode, oh my gosh, what is this, 12, Sacrifice. Ugh. I mean, I'm Adrienne Snow. And to my left, as always, is the wonderful Veronica Briga.
Hey, everyone.
And to her left, and speaking nothing but the truth, Miss Lauren the Truth Hobbit.
You know it.
And to her left, the male presence of the panel.
Yes.
Mr. Chef Beans.
Chef Beans with the mental cuisine.
Yes. As always, please, please, please tune into the chat. Stay tuned for our Resist Sister segment and news and gossip. All right, guys. I think my UGG said it all, but let's just go into, first thoughts.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone, whoever wants to go.
Go. I thought overall I don't even want to say shocked anymore because mm-hmm. I'm barely shocked at what happens. But I was a little disappointed in June because mm-hmm. I finally liked where she was heading. Yeah. So I was disappointed in her. But I was still happy with Commander Waterford being in jail. So yeah. I was kind of like 50-50 the episode. Part of me was like, yay, and a part of me was like,
Yeah, definitely was on an emotional roller coaster as mm-hmm. well, especially with the beginning happening the way it did. I saw June ready for action. She was ready for anything that was on the other side of the door. Mm-hmm. But towards the end of the episode, we saw a side of her that clearly Gilead turned her into. So
yeah,
it was a little weird for me.
Yeah, that was tough. I love the way that it started. It started off right, like Commander Lawrence, you know, he was just like, what'd he say? Oh, today's a good day. It's a good morning. And we had mm-hmm. hope when we started. And then towards the end, it was like downhill, mm-hmm. all the way downhill. Underground, even. Yeah.
Bad. I thought it was a bit of foreshadowing that June pointed her gun at Eleanor.
Ah, really?
Oh.
You spotted that before the end of the episode?
No, not at all.
I was going to say, you're a wizard.
I had a feeling that like she might be responsible for this woman's death, but, you know, I didn't think it was going to go down quite like that.
Yeah.
Overall, I did like the Waterford, Moira, and Luke moments. I hated what they decide to take June in which direction, but we'll get right into it. So let's just go into the Waterfords, Moira, and Luke first, and Mark Twello.
I think my favorite scene with that whole interaction was when Serena basically told him, like, look, don't worry about me. I'm going to be fine. You need to worry about yourself. For some reason, that just made my heart smile because mm-hmm. it showed him that, look, I have power over the situation. I helped mm-hmm. orchestrate this. Right. So I'm going to tell you again, worry about how you're going to get out of this situation because clearly all my ducks are in order.
Mm-hmm. You know, I thought that was a pretty funny part, too, because she's basically like, look, I'm off the hook. You're in trouble.
Yeah.
But with the whole situation a whole, I was very happy that Luke finally got to sock him in the face because it was well deserved. Part of me is kind of worried that he left his binder full of evidence, but you know, he might have made copies.
Oh, right.
Right. Mm-hmm. But then going with Serena, I'm so happy that Moira called her a gender traitor.
That's right.
You could see the look on her face was just like, she was speechless. She hadn't. And I love that the social worker also told Serena, don't tell her you're her mother. That confuses her.
That was like, great.
Yes. So I love that whole couple of scenes mm-hmm. there.
That was a good jab at Serena. You're not her mom. You're not. And she has to be reminded of it. It's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. All of those scenes were all really emotional. Mm-hmm. I thought the acting was phenomenal. Joseph Fiennes. Yeah. And mm-hmm. Ivana Stravinsky. Thank you, guys. Yes. That scene when they're confronting each other and that moment where he turns and you know, ends up choking her. This was intense. Every single moment in those rooms was a lot of emotion. And I really enjoyed watching it. And I don't know. The thing, though, that was strange for me was that's their prison.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
the most luxurious.
For now.
What is that, the Four Seasons? Or is it a prison? I mean,
I don't know what it was. They getting pizza, everything, big windows with scenery.
With a courtyard, a little
bourbon,
courtyard in the back.
Tea, coffee, whatever you
nice,
want.
Nice, comfortable chairs. I'm like,
oh, hell no.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will say what did bother me is that they're now in Canada.
Yeah.
They don't follow any of Gilead's rules. All that is, like, you know, out the window.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm just still so confused as to why they have to take her to see Serena.
That's
is that
part
even
of the stipulation. So I was going to say off of you being like, you are not the mother. Because that never happens on Maury. But it was kind of like how I felt, like, you're not the mother.
Exactly.
Like, get out of here. But I think that was part of her turning in Fred, was that she would get supervised visits with Nicole. So that's
I get that, but I just don't understand how Luke can agree to it, because technically it's not her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's not Luke's daughter, but Luke has, I feel like, more claim over it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry. The baby Nicole.
Luke has fifth person this week I've heard someone call
right.
It,
Luke has more, you know, sense of ownership over the baby.
Well, he's legally adopted the child.
Exactly.
At this point,
then Serena. So even if they made this hypothetical stipulation, give us Fred, we'll help you see the baby. I'm trying to figure out where Luke, why can't he just be like, no, it's not her baby.
Yeah.
So she doesn't get to see Nicole, and I have the legal rights over this baby.
I think it was worth it for him to have them be turned in over. Like, so for Luke, I think if Mark approached Luke about it, he's like, hey, listen, so we can get the Waterfords, we can put them into custody, we can take Fred to prison,
mm-hmm.
but we need you to agree to let her see the baby.
And cooperate.
Mm-hmm. And cooperate. And that might change over time. It may not be a forever thing. Like, there was something I read where it was kind of implied that the reason that the social worker was like, do not call her, or do not do that, it confuses the child, is because it could be like a long-term thing, and she wants her to get accustomed to the possibility of, like, Nicole growing up never thinking of her as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I mean,
that's a lot of leverage that Serena seems to have over a kid that's not
I don't necessarily
hers,
think.
Technically, yeah.
I think she's going to eventually find out that she's being played as well. Like, I don't really think.
Right. How long can this go on? Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. How long can this go on? Because let's just say, some magical way, June really does escape and go into Canada. She is not letting Serena see that baby.
I don't think that June's going to go to Canada with the 52 kids.
I'm not saying that's going to happen.
But I just mean in general.
I'm just saying, in some crazy world, she does get home
point
to Luke.
Yeah.
She's going to be like, give me my baby. Serena not seeing that baby.
Yeah.
The legality behind it is very interesting.
It's weird.
Right. In one world, it's, you know, legally Serena's. In a different, you know, country.
In the rest of the world.
Yeah.
She has no claim.
Right.
Exactly.
Right. That's,
We'll
see how that plays out. That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what did you guys think? Guys. I don't know. Sorry. What did you guys think of the interaction between Maura and I know we touched on it briefly, mm-hmm. but I just wanted to see if anyone else had any other
Maura
comments.
Maura and Serena?
Yeah.
I think it brought Serena back to reality. Like, look, just because you're in Canada, don't think I forgot about everything that was happening in Gilead. Mm-hmm. Like, your husband raped my friend and everything. Like, this is just a reality gut check. So though we might be in cooperation with the government, whether this is a ploy to get June back or whatever, mm-hmm. I did not forget. So I need you to understand that you're not on the good side of all this. You're actually the antagonist.
I agree. I completely feel that way too. And I'm glad she made it known.
Yeah.
Like, we're taking the baby to see you, but
like, don't be cute.
Exactly.
Like, I know. I was there.
Yeah.
Right. No, and I love how she said, and your husband raped me too.
Yeah, she dropped that bomb.
Serena, but I don't want to say poor Serena, but Serena wasn't expecting all that. She was like, I felt like she really didn't know.
No. You know? I don't think
so
she
it was
knew.
Just like, wow, slap after slap. I was there for it, so.
Yeah, no, I loved every moment. Exactly. I was like, go, Moira, give it to them. And she was even talking back to the, what's his name?
Mark?
Mark. Whatever. Yeah. That's right, yes, Serena's future boyfriend. Now, speculations, right? There's maybe. Chemistry.
I did feel that.
There's chemistry.
I felt it.
Yeah.
There's something might happen, but yeah, I enjoyed her giving it to everyone, even giving attitude to the guy. You know, she's like, "Oh, what did she say?" She was something great about
the baby has bomb.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to pass the baby through the metal detector? Mm-hmm. And not only that, she's like, "Why are they protecting? Like, we're the bad guy." You know, it was mm-hmm. this thing of like, "How are we the bad people going to see them, and they need the protection?"
Yeah.
But anyway, she was great. She was good.
She was very consistent with how she felt about the whole situation.
Yeah. Very honest, yeah.
Didn't change. So, just touching on Mark then, with Mark and Serena, I get the feeling that though there might be chemistry, he does think of her as, like, a horrible human being.
Mm-hmm. So do you think...
And he might turn on her when it becomes convenient. Like, she's useful when she has information.
Right.
I'm not sure if he 100%, you know... I don't know if he has a full amount of empathy.
That's what I'm feeling too. That's what I'm feeling too. Like, he might be flirting with her to kind of lower her guard. Like, oh, here, you need a magazine. Mm-hmm.
And then flip the switch.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Psych.
Psych.
Oh, that sounds so good right now. I would love for that to happen, but this is why I'm kind of like skeptical because she said, well, he's still my husband. And then Mark was like, oh, you're not ready to let go. And she was like, of course not. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of like, so it was kind of like, you know, he might have wanted to get in there and make a move, but it's weird because, like you said, legality comes into play.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, if they get together, is she still in, you know, like, what are her repercussions going to be?
Well, it's not like she came here because she was like, you know what, I've seen the error of my ways.
Right.
No.
And I no longer believe that Gilead stands for anything. She didn't say that.
No, I know.
She was just like, you know, actually, I really want to be my child. And yeah, maybe this isn't the best place for her. And that's that.
Right.
She wasn't like, and also, here's how you can, like, disrupt them. She was like, Fred, don't tell them anything. Clearly, she's not on their side.
No, I don't think she's on their side at all. She just wanted to get the baby. But what I'm saying is, she's not checking for Mark at all. He seems to be the one flirting with her. Mm-hmm. But what I did notice is that whenever the other people who escaped to Canada, they had to go and talk to, I don't necessarily call them a social worker, but don't you remember, like, what crimes have you committed?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You still have to go through a punishment.
Process, yeah.
Right. And in determining what they did, determine their punishment.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, okay, yes, she turned in Fred, so she'll get way less punishment than him, but she's still going to have to face some repercussions if she becomes a citizen of Canada.
Or maybe not. Maybe she comes from a place of privilege where they can get away with this stuff. I mean, I'd like her to face everything. She's a horrible human being, but we're already seeing the privilege that comes about in her detained cell. I mean, like I said,
that was the nicest cell ever.
I was kind of jealous a little bit. Like, had me kind of look at my apartment like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
do I need to go commit some crime in Canada to upgrade a little bit?
Bonsai garden.
I really thought, my God, she's living better than so many people. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't know how it always works when you do, like, when you turn someone in to save yourself. So essentially, she may not be in trouble at all because she gave someone up that was higher up.
That's too easy. Yeah.
But that also, I think, is about the relationship in terms of America and her. I don't think she has any agreements with Canada, and that's the thing. So if Nicole is now a refugee in Canada and they get all the information they need out of Fred, America can offer her, you know, like, okay, we can take
asylum.
You in and we can give you asylum and we can, you know, kind of quote-unquote right your wrongs. But if she wants to stay in Canada with Nicole, she has to face Canadian enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And they might be like, no, you're a war criminal and we're going to throw you in prison and that's how it's going to be.
Right.
So I don't know if she's thought that far.
Mm.
But now it seems like they're not going after her in that way. I mean,
why I think they might turn on her, because that's the thing. It's like you're operating with two separate countries.
Yeah.
So one country will charge them as war criminals across the board, and another country will charge him as a war criminal, but maybe give her some like reprieve. But that doesn't mean that Canada is going to do that for her, you know?
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's a complex. Yeah, it's a little bit complex.
It's crazy.
Are there any final thoughts on the Waterfords and Waterford, Maura?
Save it for predictions.
All right.
Yeah.
You guys. It's that time. Take a long look at this blue-haired face, because I won't have blue hair next week. thank you, guys. I'll be back to brown.
Okay, all right.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. As always, we appreciate that you've made us the ESPN of TV talk. And Lauren, you want
to
take that away?
Yeah. I was like, are you going to throw it to me? This is where I shine. I'm just kidding. What's up, guys? As she said, thank you guys so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk. If you're listening to us on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating. If you're watching us on YouTube, feel free to leave comments, get in the chat, subscribe, and give us thumbs up. We just love for you guys to stay in tune with us. Help us host. You're our 5th co-host. Yeah. And we appreciate you guys so much. We couldn't do this without you, because we all love doing this so much. So subscribe, download, tell your friends and family, because next weekend is our last episode for this season.
Oh, it went by so fast. Come on. Wow, 13 episodes.
Yeah.
So thank you guys. See you guys.
I'm kind of ready. I'm like, okay, let's go back to that 8-month hiatus.
Is it really 8 months? Oh my gosh. These streaming services keep you waiting way too long. But that's a different story.
All right, so let's just go right into it with June. And the Lawrences.
Where do we start?
Right? let's start with the Commanders. So the Commanders show up to be like, they took Waterford.
Right.
Winslow's probably been kidnapped too. I'm like, oh, that's real cute.
Right. I thought that the commander, Joseph Lawrence. It's like, he was completely right. He's like, oh, now you guys have come to me since your other two leaders have been taken. Mm-hmm. But when I actually had some authority, no one wanted to listen to me. Mm-hmm. Now I'm stripped of my titles and my blah, blah, blah. And now you guys come for me to help. So I agreed with him. I'm glad. But it's like, he's kind of in power, but he doesn't have the power. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I wonder how much he can do. I'm very glad that he was able to keep the port open. But yeah. I wonder, it's just going to be really interesting, because they're like, we need to find them. We need to negotiate. But it's like, how is this going to play out when he knows June's plan? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is going to be interesting. He's going to have to string them along long enough for June to execute her plan, but not long enough to look suspicious.
Well, at this point, from the episode, it's staying open as of now. The border is staying open, so we've gotten that far. But yeah, it's and he convinced them of that, because they were kind of going back and forth, right? And they were giving him a little bit of shit, and he was like, "Hey, have some respect, and I appreciate it."
Well, the only reason they gave it to him is because his wife died.
That's the only reason they were kind of trying to meet him halfway. Mm-hmm. Great point. Yeah, and so that, because he's in a vulnerable situation, in a way he can take advantage of that and maybe move forward with the plan. Hopefully, we'll see. But that, I don't know. But I don't want to drift off to like where I think he's turning, because I don't think we're there yet. But if you guys have thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with everything you said. As far as like at the beginning, he's trying to play chess, but you can tell he still felt some type of way that they took his power. So now he's just trying to move as methodically as possible.
Yeah.
Which I'm not going to jump towards how I feel like his energy switched the last scene with the way he was looking at June. But we'll get to that point. But at the beginning, he was strictly just playing, okay, things are in order. Pace yourself. You just got away with murder.
So
let's just continue to move how we're moving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
one day at a time.
I'm just going to move us along. I don't really have anything to say on that point. So, because I don't really like
on Lawrence
On the Commanders.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let's get into the wives.
Okay.
What were they even doing there? That was my first thought.
Praying for his return. My thing is like, literally,
that's all they can do,
right? Literally, as June walked into that room, Commander Winslow's wife was like, oh, you will be, or you better be praying for his return.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Why is she kind of like directing that anger towards her when she knows?
Because she's the weakest link in the room.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
good
that's
point.
And that's when the wives do have some sense of power.
Right. Right. But I'm like, but June literally said, oh, like, blessed be, or we pray for a safe return. And she's like, oh, you will be praying. I'm like, that's what she just said.
And June was a bit snarky. She was smirking the whole time.
She's like, yeah, like, I killed your husband and got away with it. Ha ha ha.
Get a better poker face.
I was looking at her face and it made me smirk. I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I couldn't. Now come I started on. Giggling.
June's poker face this whole season hasn't been good.
It's been like,
I wonder if Elizabeth Moss could, like, keep that. I mean, she's a phenomenal actress, but I just envisioned, right? Because you mentioned that face. I just envisioned her, like, laughing on set and then having to take it over because, I don't know. Anyway, it was a funny moment in a way.
In those moments, it's better to smize and not use your lips. Just a little note. Anyways, for Elizabeth Moss, who's like an Emmy winner and I'm nobody.
No, acting lessons from Adrian.
Right? Classically trained. That always throws me when she decides to do like a smirking, smarmy look instead of just playing. I think there's something creepier and more awful about somebody playing something sincerely when you know that they've done something horrible. And maybe that's why she doesn't play that way. But yeah, doesn't matter at this point.
But at this point, like you said, her looks, she does them so much for every episode when she's happy, sad, angry. I'm like, I don't even know where your emotions are anymore. Like, you make that face for everything, so I don't know what you're feeling, but I'm going to just think how I'm feeling and pretend that's how you're feeling.
Well, her emotions are so complex. Exactly. I mean, Gillian, you know, like, nothing is right. You're not here, you're not there. It's not so simple. It's like, yeah.
So I think this is the point where I thought, oh, she might do something to Mrs. Lawrence. When Mrs. Lawrence started to be like, well, can't we save the children? We can take them with us.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, well, they probably won't figure it out because they're not really thinking like that.
Right.
I was like, but June might hurt Mrs. Lawrence. That's the first time I had the thought. I was like, she might do something to her.
Huge liability. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just watching. I was like, I mean, I'm sure we all were just like, don't talk, lady. Like, stop. You know, everything about that scene was cringeworthy. Mm-hmm. You're like, there goes the plan. It was too much to handle, but I don't know. I'm just still reacting.
Liability, I agree,
for sure. The red flag went off in that moment.
Joseph, he even like grabbed her shoulder and kind of squeezed her like, that's enough, calm down. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, if she says one more word, I'm going to jump through the TV and strangle her.
It was
because if she messes up this chance for 52 kids, oh my God, I literally was like, shut up!
Yeah.
But it's also not her fault. Like,
right,
that's the saddest part.
That is what's sad about her character.
She has a mental illness. She's no longer on medication for it. Mm-hmm. So she has moments where she can, like, keep it together. And then she has moments where she's just in a manic episode. She's just thinking about, okay, I have to just do this. I have to do that.
Like, very impulsive.
Yeah. And that was probably my biggest problem with what they decided to do to Eleanor. It's just like, so you took a woman who's mentally ill.
Thank you.
And you had her do something that is, often just like could happen to people who are in a moment of panic or fear. She took the pills.
Fragile state, yeah.
And then you had your main character like lose all empathy because she has to get the job done and just
nuts.
Like stand there and make sure that she died.
Well, you know.
And she's killed like 4 people at this point already. Okay.
She's a cold-blooded killer, really. I mean,
what was interesting to me about that scene with June and Eleanor was that the episode is called Sacrifice. So we've seen June literally sacrifice a couple of people, whether it was Commander Winslow and now Eleanor. But throughout Gilead, period, from the hangings and everything that they're doing, that's a message that they're trying to communicate to the community. This is a sacrifice because these are the standards that we're trying to uphold. Mm-hmm. So to see actually June flip the switch, like, no, things are changing in our narrative now. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was very, like, potent. Like, wow, like, June is really taking control over the situation because she could have helped. But she was just kind of like, no, this is a liability. So she is a sacrifice that no matter how I'm feeling internally, I put my integrity to the side. This is what needs to happen for the greater good.
Ooh, yeah,
but, the greater good.
But that was
in her perspective.
I know, but that's like the tagline of like, but yeah, so many regimes.
I know,
or regimes.
Which will turn against her, in my opinion, because I'm with you, and I see that. But there was two parts to it. So for me, it was like, all right. not shut it down, but you know, it's like she's a liability. I understand mm-hmm. how June is moving forward. But in that same moment, immediately after, I thought, this is the biggest mistake you can ever make, June. Like, you are getting rid of, or you're not helping. Okay, not getting rid of Eleanor, but you are, when she's gone, the commander has no reason mm-hmm. to be empathetic. That is his will to survive. That is his will to keep going.
Right.
And when you take that out of the equation, you're really messing with the one person that can help you move forward. And this is bad news. This is the worst thing you could have done. Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's how I saw it. And towards the end, we started to see him, you know, that little evil smirk.
Yeah, from the chat, even ER Grandpa said the same thing. Since Miss Lawrence is dead, now he has no need for June.
Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't even think about that, but that's a great point, because my thing is, I just thought that was one of the most inhumane things she's done.
Of course.
Because yeah, that lady has been nothing but nice to her.
Of course.
You know what I mean? She showed her
at risk sympathy. To herself as well.
Exactly. Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even after she played Eleanor and took her for that walk, Eleanor was like, I get it. Like, you want to see your child. And then she goes and lets her die. I was like, wow. I thought you were a little bit better than that. Not too much, but I thought you were a little better than that after the kindness she's shown you. And then, but for you to bring up that point, now he's going to be like, girl, I don't care about none of your causes. I'm going to be president again and say, forget all y'all.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that.
Right.
There was at one point where I thought, well, maybe she's letting her die. Because there's a point where if someone's, like, been under or starting to, like, be affected mentally. Uh-huh. That you may not be able to recover them at least completely. Like, she might have, you know, because when people do try and attempt suicide and it's not successful, that can have its own repercussions. And so, side effects, I should say. But when I realized, like, oh, no, she's not. Like, she's just doing this because she thinks she's getting in the way. I was like, well, that's not good because you're killing Joseph Lawrence's humanity. Like, that's what makes him human.
That's exactly it.
Is his wife. Right. Up until that point.
Right.
Before Gilead started to negatively affect his wife, he was on board for Gilead.
That's absolutely right.
So now that he is, one, back in a position of power, or people are listening to him again, he doesn't have this woman who's, like, the moral center of his life. And he's beginning to suspect that you could have stopped it, and you didn't, because he was definitely giving that side eye. And I was like, that side eye means something.
That look was, like, everything. That's all you needed to see. I mean, I thought, oh, my God, is it, like, is the horns going to start popping out of his head?
Literally.
That was a sadistic look, right? It was like you literally saw him turning. All the actors are so good in this.
When he looked at her like that, I got chills. I was like, oh, gosh. I was like, does he know? Does a part of him know?
Right. That was.
That was what came into my head. And then for her to just still stand there and smile, I was like, oh, girl, you real dumb. Like, you need to walk away, let him grieve in his peace. Because if he finds out, you are a goner.
It was kind of arrogant on June's end. Like, you want me to stay or? Mm-hmm. And I think that was the last clue that he needed.
As that it was, like, all about June, right? And that she could give no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
And he'd already said that you got away with murder that morning. He said it that morning. So I think pairing that together was like, well, like, would she kill my wife if she got in the way of what this woman needed to do? You know? And I think he kind of realized that she would, and that it is risky for him to put his neck on the line for this woman. That, and at the end of the day, it's just like a womb to him. You know what I mean? Like, in reality, no matter how much he might be humane to her, like, he's still a part of that world.
Yeah.
So.
Central parts.
Central parts. Any final thoughts on
anybody in the chat?
I mean, they're saying everything that we're saying. Mm-hmm. Krista White said June didn't give her mental health issues or feed her the pills. I think Lawrence will be more motivated to help now in his wife's name. So that's a different
perspective. That's a hopeful perspective. And I'm the idealist,
I don't see him having that perspective because it's like, well, you had the option to save my wife. You know that she's suffering and you could have saved her. And instead you just... like, something that she did probably on an impulse, like, something, which is how a lot of suicides end up happening. And you could have saved her or spared her some pain, and instead you didn't. So
yes, actively chose not to.
And then if he actually thinks about it, he might see and think, oh, it might not be completely June's fault, but she did this after you yelled at her and shook her violently, pinned her against the wall. Mm. So, yeah, he might start putting little pieces of the puzzle
that's
together.
That's how he might see it. Though I think it came from when he was like, we'll be fine, everything will be fine. She's like, will it? Like, can we ever?
I think it came from the last 15 years of being there. Yeah. Just suffering.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's tough. Sad episode.
It was.
Sad to
see
her go.
June pissed me off for the last time.
Selfish
June. Let's get to the season finale, and then I'm going to take my 8 months and think about Handmaid's Tale. All right, with that, let's just go right into news and gossip.
Don't we?
Yeah.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So this week was pretty short, but Yvonne Stravosky did an interview with Bazaar magazine. Mm-hmm. And talked about her long-awaited betrayal of Fred, in which she says, I can imagine her down the line wondering if it was worth it. Mm-hmm. And by that, she obviously means turning in Fred to the Canadian government. So they asked her a lot of questions, but the main point she made was that even though we kind of saw her character slowly kind of making up with Fred after the visit to D.C. Mm-hmm. And she said that a part of that was genuine. A part because she loved Fred all these years, but then after the beatings and the sex and the cutting off the finger, that's when she started to lose feelings. But, you know, she said it was genuine because she did kind of want to make an amend before she gave him up to the government. She said her character did feel guilty, and eventually she'll wonder if it was the right thing to do. But she said in the back of her mind, she always knew that she was gonna put the baby first, and that, you know, this was just all a part of the plan, basically.
Bradley Whitford, who plays Commander Lawrence, also did an interview. I can't remember where it was, like, either Mashable or Realtor, I apologize. But he did say, he dropped something, and I was like, should he have said that? And he was like,
spoiler.
Well, yeah. He's like, I really think that the death of Eleanor is going to really, like, show you who he's going to become for the next season. And I was like, next season?
Bradley, we already knew there's a next season.
Well, we know there's a next season. We didn't know that Bradley Whitford would return for the next season, because he is also a series regular on a new NBC comedy show. So that's just kind of like a little
hint that
he will be around. Possibly. I figured he was going to die. This is the next episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't think so. But yeah, that's pretty much it.
Anything is possible, I guess, in this world now. But
it really
but
is.
That would be weird. Yeah, I hope not.
I mean, they killed Commander Winslow, and I thought he at least had another
season. A few
season.
More seasons.
Yeah. Did they turn him into smoke or dust?
Right.
Dust.
And incinerator.
All right.
Well, actually, if you guys want to, if you're huge fans of Elizabeth Moss, The Kitchen comes out this Friday. So go support her.
Yeah. Tiffany Haddish and Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're both here.
Yeah.
All right, well, with that, let's go into Resist Sister.
Oh yeah. Oh, wait. Okay, that was quick. I was waiting for more. All right. Our Resist Sister of the week is probably of the decade, of the century. This woman's pretty amazing. Toni Morrison is the first African-American author to win the Nobel Prize for Literature. Mm-hmm. And I say is, but we should say was. She passed away on Monday. This is very sad. You know, it's all the headlines. And, you know, rightfully she deserves all of this acknowledgement. She was 88 years old, but did a lot. She was known for speaking to the pain and resiliency. Thank you. In and of the African-American experience. And she also got a Presidential Medal of Freedom in 2012. That's the highest civilian honor. And this is what stood out to me when I was sort of reading about this phenomenal woman. Her novels ignited controversy, which is strange because she's just writing, speaking truth. But it ignited controversy, and a lot of school districts tried to ban her books. Mm-hmm. One of the best writers of our time. So, yeah, rest in peace.
Yes, rest in peace.
She is, you know, check out her books. Yeah.
Yeah. Bluest Eye was banned when I was a kid from my school.
That's wild. That's crazy.
We read it anyway.
Yeah, we did.
Because we have Barnes and Noble.
There you go. Yeah, that's right. Resist,
right.
Sister.
Yes. Resist it. Rest in peace, Miss Morrison. Okay, with that, let's go into predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right, should I start?
Yeah, I'm looking down like,
let's
I'm
do it this way. You start.
Okay, I'll go first. My predictions are, I feel as though Commander Lawrence is going to turn... hit a 180. I don't see him being super angelic or just on their side anymore, because the way he was looking at June at the end of the episode, something in him died, whether it was his humanity or the little bit of integrity that he had left.
A little bit, right.
I feel like all of that's out the window, because as we know, Eleanor was the only thing that really made his heart beat. And now that's gone. So who's to say he's not going to, you know, turn malicious, even more malicious than he has been?
Yeah.
I agree. I think that Fred is definitely gonna be in prison for this, you know, like he's gonna be captured. Maybe they'll get out next season, but this next one, I feel like they're gonna put him in the slammer. I feel like if there's a slight turn on Serena, we might see the beginnings of it in this last episode. And I feel like June's plan is going to fail. Now, and I say that now because, like you said, Joseph is kind of sensing her evil spirit. So I feel like something might happen where the plan just kind of tanks.
Yeah, I think June really messed up by viewing the wife, Eleanor, as a you know, liability, which she was. But in the bigger scheme of things, I think it was a bad decision.
Better to keep her alive. Yeah.
Better to keep her alive, right. That was his only will to go on. So I don't know. I don't know. This threw me for a loop this episode, you know? I was like ready to go in that direction, charging forward. Let's get this plan going. The Marthas are in. Everyone's in. And now I just don't know what to think. But I hope to see that Serena gets a taste of her own medicine. I hope that they kind of flip the switch on her because she's been manipulating a lot of people. She turned Fred in, which was great. But I'm ready for her to feel a little bit of the
sting.
The sting. Yeah. Yeah.
I think Fred's going to get out of it. Because he's like our main antagonist at this point. And so I think they're going to find a way to get him out of it. And then I think Serena might get sent off to Hawaii, which would piss her off. That's not going to happen, but that would be my dream. And then I think part of June's plan is going to work. But I think something might finally happen to June, like not in like a finally, but like a
she does deserve some like, sort like, of get like, her book kind
like
of
like it's still Gilead, like do not forget Gilead. That it's still Gilead.
And if anything else, like the only way that might not happen, which if this happens I'm gonna be super pissed, is if Nick like for some reason makes an appearance and protects her from
I forgot about
whatever this is very possible. From getting caught. But yeah, I get the sense that the plan will work to a point. Because I also think that regardless of Joseph being angry with June, you know, I do think a part of him is like, well, maybe these children do deserve a better life. Like, if he thinks about it from the perspective that this world drove my wife to full-on insanity, outside of just having, like, a mental illness, like, it just broke her completely.
Right.
Maybe it is better for these children to get out. Yeah.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
I hope so.
I hope he wouldn't take his thing out for June on the kids.
I hope so, too. But he did have an appearance. He came back in that, like, full-on commander suit in the preview for next episode.
You know,
episode,
power so. Will do crazy things to people. Power is its own evil. Yeah. In the wrong hands, yeah.
Well, on that bummer note,
this has been.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Handmaid's Tale After Show on AfterBuzz TV. As always, I am Adrian Snow. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miss Adrian Snow. And Veronica, where can they follow you?
Yes. Hey, guys, catch me online at Veronica, the letter B, online.
You can follow me at Lauren the Truth.
You can follow me on all social media platforms at Chef_BEANZ. Chef Beans.
With a Z.
With a Z.
Yeah. All right, guys. That is it. We are going to be in it for one more episode, and then we're done and back to the real world terrors. So we'll see you for that episode next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.